good, amen? Hey, would you do me a favor? Would you stand for the reading of God's Word? We're going to read Luke chapter 15. And it's a story that you're familiar with if you've been in church for a little while. If you're like me, and I was 21 years old the first time I ever really walked into a church like this environment, and I'm like, man, this is all kind of new. People are pretty excited about this guy Jesus. I wonder what's all this all about. And wherever you're at, I want to read to you out of the scripture, because at Active Church, man, we believe the Bible is truth. Amen? And Jesus told a story about a guy with two sons, and I want to share this with you real quick. By the way, I want to welcome everyone watching online right now. So glad that you're joining us. For those of you who are newer to our church, hi, I'm Adam Magana. Nice to meet you. I'm the lead pastor of Active Church. I haven't been here for a while. Yeah, thank you. Feels good. Feels good to be back home. We were on sabbatical. We're back, feeling refreshed, excited, expecting God to move this morning. And I want to reach you out of God's Word. So here's what it says. Jesus continued in verse 11. It says, there was a man who had two sons. How many sons?
Two.
All right, I got you. The younger one, the dumb one, we can call him. You can't say dumb. Yes, you can. You can say that at church. It's okay. He was a dumb son because he had everything he needed at home. But yet he did not realize what he had until he left. So he said to his dad, hey, Dad, give me my share of the estate. So the father did that. He divided his property between them. Verse 13. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had. He set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth. He wasted it in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his field to feed pigs. Not a great job for a Hebrew young man. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Verse 17, when he stopped thinking in his back brain, he came to his prefrontal cortex, he's like, what the heck am I doing here? He came to his senses. Everyone say, came to his senses. He came to his senses. Here's what happened. He goes, hey, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. Verse 18, I'll set out and I'll go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. No longer worthy. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. So while he was still a long way off, I love this, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. Not hate, not anger, not what you and I would do. Like, oh, here he comes. Like, that's my boy. Like, we're going to have a talk. We're going to sit down. And while he's a long way off, his father, filled with love and compassion for his son, he gets up. Ran to his son, he threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. This is the gospel. This is what God says to those of us that have wandered, those of us that have maybe done things our way. I'm here to tell you, the title of my message this morning is, you are worthy. In Christ, you are worthy. And we're going to believe that God's going to move this morning. Let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, we receive from you this morning what only you can fill us with, which is your purpose, your identity for our lives, God. Sonship, daughtership, Lord, may we be people of faith, God. May we be people that trust you. May we put our faith and our trust in you this morning, God, once again, as we turn our hearts towards heaven, our hearts, Lord, towards you, God. Speak to us now through the power of your Spirit. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Give someone a fist bump on the way down. You may be seated. Give a couple people three fist bumps. Thank you, worship team. It feels good to be back. You guys look so good. Everyone looks so good and fresh. It's summertime. It feels good. It's, you know, I came from Las Vegas. We lived in Vegas for 6 years, and it's 110 degrees right now in Vegas. So it's good to be home here in the Central Coast. Anyone glad to be home in the Central Coast? It's a good place to be. Good place to be. We are back. We were on sabbatical, like I said, and man, I feel so grateful to be a part of this church. You know, the church didn't miss a beat. They say that you can measure leadership by when you're not there, if everything goes well. And my wife and I, we stepped away for a sabbatical to rest and recharge after 2020 and running hard into 2021. We had almost 1,400 people Easter weekend. Isn't that crazy? Come on, God, to God be the glory. Crazy. And then we're like, man, we are ready to rest for a little bit. And our team, your church family, you guys are in good hands. This church is not one all-star person trying to do it all. This is many people giving, sowing, believing, serving, and doing God's will so that we can build the local church. Not about making us famous, active church famous, but about making Jesus famous in the Central Coast. So can we just honor all those that serve and our teams and our one communicator after another on our team came up this last, 8 weeks and just did such a phenomenal job. So we left the desert, right? We got out of the desert. We're in the promised land now. So we're not in a series right now. We're going to be talking over the next few weeks. There's a few things that we're going to be talking about. Serve Day, I got some more information for you about that at the towards the end of service. But I want to talk to you today about this idea of coming home, that you are worthy, and that God has a plan for you. While sabbatical, we went to my hometown of Bakersfield, California. Anyone know of Bakersfield? Any Bakersfield people out there? Okay, I know you're ashamed. It's okay. Wear it with pride. Come on, Bakersfield. Three people. Okay, thanks, Mom. So what we have, when you go back home, I like going home sometimes. It's a good place to be from. I like being here, though. But when you go home, I take my kids, and I'll take them to various places where I used to hang out. Like, I'll be like, hey, this is where I went to school, and I'll show them my school. And they're like, and you ever go back to your old school, and it feels like so tiny? Like, this place used to be bigger. Like, it's like tiny, like everything, all the classrooms are tiny. Like, this is weird. We would go to I would take them to like the park I used to go. I'm like, I broke my collarbone skateboarding right there. And my kids were like, oh, this is cool, you know. And like, they'll be like, Dad, what was it like in the olden days? I'm like, what? I'm like, not that old, dude. But my son's like, yeah, like back in the olden days when you were little. And I'm like, well, let me tell you about a time called the 1980s. Specifically the late 80s, that's when my recollection started. You know, I was 7 years old when we hit 1990, so I had a little time in the 80s. My formative years, the first 5, 6, 7 years, were in the 1980s. And anyone know about the 1980s in here? Okay, cool. I'm just getting a demographic feel. I've been gone for a while. See where we're at, second service. Did I tell you guys you're my favorite service? Yes, I can't see you because the fog's going hard right now, but I know you're out there, and I love you. But the 1980s, I was telling my kids, like as we're driving home or driving around my hometown, I'm telling my kids about, back in the day, and I'm like, you guys have it so good. It's so safe now in the 2000 era, 2021. Everything's safe. They have like amazing car apparatus. The kids have like their own like Bose sound system with their own speakers, and there's like TVs. I'm like, you guys don't realize we had to play games like Slug Bug Yellow. Like, that was a thing we did. Remember that? Yeah. Yeah. It was good to be bored back then. Like, it taught us creativity. But now the kids have, like, iPads, and there's just internet everywhere. But in the 80s, it was a different time. The 80s were a place where, well, I'll show you. For example, the playgrounds are different in the 80s than they were now. For example, like at McDonald's, I'll take my kid to McDonald's now, and they're like, there's like a touchscreen device, and there's like AI robot making French fries. Back in my day, the McDonald's I'm used to looked like this right here. You guys remember this? This 1980s McDonald's playground. This hamburger is eating this child. Like, remember how hot it was? Like the metal, it was like, there was like sharp edges on this this deal. I remember being like waiting for Ronald McDonald. Never forget this. Me and my mom, if you're watching, it was like my mom and my big sister, and it was 1987, 88, and we're waiting for Ronald McDonald, and whoever was playing Ronald McDonald let down at least 14 really, really unhappy kids. He never showed up. We stayed at Ronald McDonald. We stayed in the play place. It was terrible. But what about playgrounds? I'm going to show you another playground. Remember this slide? Remember any kids, like, remember you scrape your, like your whole, you're burning your leg as you're going down? Or what about this guy? What about the merry-go-round from hell? Oh my gosh! That thing had no governor on it. You would just keep going. Like, it had like ABEC 12 bearings in that thing. That thing was like, you would fly off, and kids, you didn't wear helmets back then on anything. You just got a brain injury. And like my kids are like, how did you survive the 80s, Dad? I'm like, that's a great question. Can I show you what I used to take? Because I'm a Flintstone kid, 10 million strong. Thank you. Put myself out there for that first service. I had some people came through. Thank you. Going home, it reminds like being thinking about home, like going back to Bakersfield, going back to my home. This is a story about a guy that was home, and he had everything he needed, but he left home. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you feel far from God, God is telling you, just come home this morning. Like the father in the story, he's not mad. We have a Christianity that we've devised. I don't know where it came from, but we believe that our good works give us more love from God. They give us blessing. Walking with God, there's blessing. But can I tell you something? God loves you. He cannot love you more. He cannot love you less. When you're his kid, there's like, I'm never going to be like, oh, Hadley, what'd you do? You're not my kid anymore. There's nothing my kids could do to make me not love them. Nothing. Zero. Zip. Zilch. And if you are a child of God, I'm here to tell you this morning, God is not mad at you. He's not waiting to throw a lightning bolt on your life because you did something. He loves you no matter what. And this is a story of that. Now, there's a reason why you're at church this morning. I think all of us long for to be home, right? We say every Sunday, if you don't have a church that you call home here on the Central Coast, then let me be the first to tell you, welcome home, right? And then we clap for everyone. Here's what we don't do. Hey, if it's your first time, would you stand up for us? Hey, y'all stand up. Come on. There's churches that do this. And they do it, and like you stand. Have you been to a church like that? And then you stand up, and everyone's like, oh. And then you feel awkward, like, I'm never coming here again. Okay? That's why we do that. We don't want to embarrass you. We want you to feel like, okay, I'm home, but they don't know that I'm home. Okay? But this story is about a young boy who was sick of being home. He was sick of it. We don't know exactly. This is a made-up story to point to a very real principle that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the kingdom of God. And he uses three illustrations. He says there's like a lost coin, there's a lost sheep, and a lost son. This is the lost son, and here's what he says. Verse 12, the younger son told his father, hey, I want my share of your inheritance. I know you're not dead yet, Dad. But, you know, give me all your stuff. I want my portion. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his two sons. I wish I had more time. I would tell you about the older son. The older son was the rule follower. The younger son was stupid, okay? The older son was the guy that was like, he's probably a one on the Enneagram, any Enneagram people. He was a rule follower. He just did the right thing. Like, if it was out of order, he's like, no. He's the guy that when you're playing Monopoly, like he's the one carrying the money. He's the one following the rules. This is the guy that's doing everything correctly. And the second son, he is just like, whatever, bro. We don't need to do that. We can figure out the rules later. This is the guy that maybe some of you are the younger son. You are a little bit of a rule breaker. Any rule breakers in the house? Just rule benders a little bit. Okay, I'm that guy. Pray for me. And here's what it says. A few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings, and he moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all of his money in wild living. When I am old and gray, and I look back on my life, I don't want to be the guy that says, man, I wasted it. A great mentor of mine, Pastor Alex Anderson, said, Adam, when you're old, think about decisions like this. When you're old and gray and you're having lemonade on the front porch, sitting in a rocking chair with your beautiful wife and thinking about your life, thinking back on your life, what do you wish you would have done in this moment? Perspective is everything in the end. Everything. And when I get done with my life, when I'm old and gray, I know I'm not going to be, there's going to be things I wish I could omit, but I can't. Because I'm a human being and I'm flawed. But let me tell you something. I don't want to waste the things that God's given me. I want to choose to use my time, my talent, and my treasure to build this thing called the local church. Why? Because God has changed my life. And according to Scripture, I was at a wedding last night, saw Ryan and Kristen got married. So awesome. Love them so much. It was beautiful. It was awesome. But guess what? They're married now. They're through thick and thin. The Bible says that the bride of Christ is the church. And the Bible says that the church, the gates of hell, will not overpower the church. That we're building this thing that will never, ever die. That the only thing that God has done and built and established here on earth to overcome the evil one in darkness is this thing called the local church. So I want to spend the rest of my life building communities where people can connect to God and connect to each other. That's what we're doing here. We're building community. You are the church. It's not about a building. I love the building because guess what? It's a place for us to congregate. But it's not about us coming here and feeling like, okay, cool, check the box, feeling better about myself. No, it's for us to go out and to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Let's not waste what God's given us. Let's go and pour it out into our cities this week. Amen? My first point is this. A wasted life, write this down, a wasted life is one that pursues the resources from God without the relationship with God. It's as if the son was like, I want everything that you have, Dad, I just don't want you. It's like when your kids ask you for money. Like, I just want your money. It's in that card right there. I don't have any money. No, it's on that plastic card, Dad. I know you have money in there. I'm like, son, that's in the bank right now, right? A wasted life is one that actually pursues God for the stuff, but not for the relationship. That's like getting into a relationship with dating a girl or a guy because you want something from them, you don't want something for them. That's like getting married and going, well, I can do all what I want to do and we can do what we want to do, but I'm not really in it for you, I'm just in it for me. And sometimes what happens is we get in Christianity and we get into this place where we come to church and we're actually looking for resources to fix us, but what God really wants is to give us relationship with him and other people. Because God can take care of your stuff. Isn't it interesting? God can breathe and stars are formed. God can speak and planets are coming into existence. God could speak right now and all of your childhood trauma and all the junk that you've ever gone through and all the things that you struggle with could go away. Your addictions, all that stuff. He could make it go away today. And you're like, well, why doesn't he? I know. Because he doesn't do it like that. He uses people. He uses relationship with him and other people. I don't know why. Maybe it's because God wants us to learn how to not depend on ourselves and get to a place where we're actually living surrendered and going, God, I need you, and I need you, 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 you. We need one another. That's why it's great to serve in the local church. And I don't need you to serve here. I'd love for you to serve here. We have a serve team. You can join today if you want to start serving. We'll give you a shirt. We'll give you a high five. We'll get you plugged in. But here's what I really want you to do. I just want you to take a next step. A great next step is go to Growth Track. Go to Fast Track. Another great step, come serve with us on Serve Day. Can I ask you to do that as your pastor? You're like, I barely know you. I know. We can get to know each other better. Serve Day 2021 coming up, July 31st. You should serve. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go out and we're going to serve our city. There's multiple projects all over the county. All you got to do, we'll have a live app. We'll have actually an app you can download on the Serve Day app. You'll find Active Church. You'll be like, oh, hey, okay, which one do we want to go to? We'll serve at this one. Just show up. We'll give you a red t-shirt. We'll paint the town red. We'll love people in Jesus' name. We'll have some food afterwards. It's going to be awesome. Here's what's going to happen. Some of you are here because you're like, I just need to get that good stuff. I need to get the word. I want you to help me get my life together. And God's like, guess what? Look up. Look around. I have people around you that I want you to get connected to. They're going to help you. God uses community. You can't do, if we've learned nothing from 2020 and COVID, you can't do life alone. It's miserable. We're not meant to be isolated. You know, your number one need as a baby was attachment. That you're not, if you're not held and coddled as a young person, as a baby, you actually will, science shows that you could die from not being held. So what makes us think that when we're adults, we don't need friends? You know what shows us? That's another sermon. Anyways. I told you, I've been on sabbatical for a while. I got lots of sermons. All right, well, we'll be out of here about 3 o'clock today, so I hope you brought a lunch. Reading this parable that Jesus is telling us, it appeared that this young man is actually wealthy, comes from a wealthy home. The father seems to have a lot of resources. In other words, he has he's very well off. He's got a whole estate. So he probably had everything that the son needed. The son wasn't without. Did you know that you can have everything that you need, but still, if you are not, like, this is the God-sized hole in your heart, that if you don't have God, and I'm just here to tell you, I'm just going to bear witness to what I know. I tried to get satisfaction from all sorts of things, resources, achievement, accomplishment, wine, women, wealth, right? And if you go after those things, you can get them, and they'll make you content for a season. But in the end, if you don't have God at the center of your life, and I'm not talking about, like, I'm talking about if you're a Christian, too. You can have God a part of your life, but if he's not the center of your life, you will long for stuff, and you'll wonder, why is this not working? Why am I not feeling God? Why am I not experiencing the blessing of the God? It's not that you don't have God. It's that you have him on the wrong seat in the bus. He needs to be in the driver's seat. He doesn't need to be on, like, row 14 in the back looking out the window. He needs you to put him in the driver's seat because he's not going to, Jesus, take the wheel. No, he's like, I'm waiting, bro. It's really what it is. It's the eventuality of if you steer your own life long enough, you'll eventually hit something that you can't get through. There's no amount of drink, drug, busyness, money. There's nothing you can do to get through it. You're going to get to a place eventually where you're going to go, I don't know what to do. And this is what sin does. Sin, write this down. Sin is doing life our way instead of God's way. This is exactly what the prodigal is doing. He's like, you know what? Screw it. I'm doing it my way. And this is not me like going, hey, all you, this is me too. People ask me, why do you serve God? Because I've done it my way and I ended up in a place I did not like. People ask me, they'll challenge me on my faith and there's like new atheism and there's all sorts of great books out there. You can read Richard Dawkins. There's all sorts of like really compelling reasons not to believe in God. But you want to know something? Most people don't believe in God because they have their faith in atheism and not their faith in Jesus. We just have different faiths. I've talked to lots of people that genuinely don't want there to be a God. And I ask them, what do you believe? And they'll say, well, I don't believe there's a God. Why? Well, because, you know, here, show me, I only burden of proof. And I'm like, that takes faith. Sin is just doing life your way. People, we don't want someone telling us what to do. But yet God isn't saying, here's what you not do. Don't do this, don't do that. He's saying, if you can do whatever you want, all things are lawful. It's not all things are profitable. Luke 15 says this, about the same time that his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He was starving because there was a huge famine in the land. Sometimes God will let us get to a place where we are so broken to where we come to our senses. That's exactly what happened. He persuades a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him away into the field to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. Can I ask you a question? Do you think this is where he thought he would end up after getting all the stuff? Do you think he was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go. I'm going to take all my dad's stuff, my inheritance, and I'm going to go squander it on wild living, and then I'm going to end up feeding pigs in a pig pen. This is the challenge for many of us. Sin, you can write this down, it's my second point. Sin always overpromises on fun, doesn't it? It's going to be awesome. It's going to be different this time. It's so different. Like, that last time was different. This is different. It's going to be great this time. It overpromises on fun, but it always underdelivers on fulfillment. Every time. And I'm like you. I'm like, no, this time it'll be different. No, it's not. It's the same place. It's the same place. And here's the enemy's strategy. He wants to get you to think, well, this time it'll be different. And I guarantee the son was like, wait a minute. I thought this was going to be different. I thought this was going to make me happy. I thought this was going to fulfill me, but it's leaving me empty. Here's what a good Hebrew word If you want to read this, or if you want to drop this in a conversation this week, you can sound like a Bible scholar. The word I want to teach you is acharit. Acharit is a Hebrew word that actually means the end result. Throughout the Old Testament, in the end, the end result, the consequences thereof. So here's what I want to teach you. There is an acharit to your decisions. There's a result for the way we live. I know we want to think YOLO. You already know, though. No, you only live once. I know it's an old song, but it gets the point across. Your life has a outcome, has an outcome. There's going to be an account, the Bible says, that you have to give for the way we live our lives. And if you have Jesus, God covers your sin. But can I just tell you something? There's an account that we all have to give, and the end result will be the legacy that you live and you leave. Proverbs 14:12 says it like this. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the acharit, in the end, leads to death. So what does that mean? Your enemy's primary strategy is to destroy your life by deceiving you from the acharit and the consequences of your decisions. What's he doing? He wants you to think that you're missing out when you're following God's way. You ever felt like that? You give your life to Jesus, or maybe you grew up a Christian. I don't know. I didn't grow up following Jesus. I grew up doing everything else. And you're like, am I missing something? Because they look like they're having fun over there. And it looks like it's better over there in that yard. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. Or maybe in your marriage, you're like, maybe I'm picked wrong. Maybe he's not the guy I thought he was. Maybe she's not the girl I thought she was. Maybe I'm not worthy of their love. Maybe they're better. And all of a sudden, you start going in your mind in places, and you start comparing yourself to everyone else. And guess what? We have this device called an iPhone or a smartphone, and we have this thing, this way of comparing ourselves, and we have all these fantasies that start going out in our brain about what we could be and what we shouldn't be and how we compare to them or compare to her. And all of a sudden, our brain starts going, and if we're not careful, we can get caught in a trap. And God's saying, be careful of the acharit, the end result. See, this guy that went off and spent all his money, he didn't think that he was going to end up in a pigpen, but he did. And God's saying the same thing to you and I. He's like, hey, you can go your own way, but I'm telling you, in the end result, the acharit, it possibly could destroy your life, the thing that you've been working so hard for. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And he goes, when he finally came to his senses. Some of us need to come to our senses this morning. What does that mean? It's when you start thinking right. No longer be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. What you think about all day eventually comes out in your life. If you think you're terrible and you think you suck and you think I'm bad, you're going to walk around and you're going to make decisions like that. But listen, at the end of our lives, we're going to wish we listened to those times where someone came to us and said, hey, bro, I see this in your life. And all of a sudden we come to our senses. Sometimes it comes from being exposed, being found out. Thank God for good friends that will call you out in love and tell you, hey, I see this man, but hey, let's get through this together. Some of you guys might have someone in your life today that you need to call and just be like, hey, let's hang out. How are you? It might be the thing that gets them to come to their senses. Or maybe, just maybe, you're here today and you're in the pig pen of your own decisions. And you've been living a compartmentalized life. What do I mean compartmentalized? It means that you're here like this with these friends, and you're here like this with those friends, and then you have this other life over here that no one knows about. And God's saying, I need you to think about the end. I need you to think about the acharit. I need you to integrate your life, because I don't want you to feel separated from yourself, because if you start living too compartmentalized, you actually miss out on the best thing, which is actually to be known and to be loved by God and to be known and loved by each other, by other friends. And he goes, maybe I'm going to come to my senses at home. Even the hired servants have enough food to spare. And here I am dying of hunger. And here's the third point, and Ben can come up. If you want to get help, you have to come back home. If you want to get help, you have to come back home. Who's the father in this story? The father represents God. Who represents the son? The sons, two sons. Us. Some of us, we've been with the father the whole time. God's like, well done. And we're starting to get resentful because we're like, man, I'm the one here. I'm here. I love the people that are here early. We have an amazing team. But the minute you get entitled, you start becoming bitter towards the people that aren't doing it. Well, I got here. I set up the pipe and drive. What'd you do? Because I'm here early. I'm working every day. The minute you start becoming entitled, that leads to bitterness. And bitterness actually is the thing that causes divisiveness. But the younger son, he left, and here's what he goes, I got to come home. Because even my dad has servants, they have more than I do right now. And guess what? If you want to get help, come home. Come back to dad. Do you know how often I get ahead of God or fall behind God? Or do you know how often I start doing stuff that God asked me, he never asked me to do, and I start getting so busy trying to do for God that I miss out on just being with God? Galatians 4:7 says, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God's made you also an heir. God didn't save you to be his employee. He saved you to be part of his family. He's not looking for workers to go do something. Although when you do become part of his family, you realize, I don't have to serve, I get to serve. I don't have to talk about my faith. I can't help but talk about what Jesus is doing in my life. I don't have to be this person. The byproduct of me abiding in Christ and being connected to the Father is that there's fruit that comes out of my life. I don't have to try to be a good Christian, but all I need to do is spend time with Jesus and come back to the Father and watch what happens in your life when you spend time with the Father. That pig pen is not, whatever that is, whatever that's drawing you away from God, it's time to come to our senses and say, God, that's not what your best is for me. And some of us, like that son, we don't feel worthy of going back home. Some of you have been so close to Jesus in this last 18 months, you fell off. Or maybe you've been feeling distant from God. You're showing up, but you feel like you're empty. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be in a room full of Christians and go, am I missing something? Because I don't know if I feel like these guys feel it. You know what it is? You're not a human doing. You're a human being. He wants you to be with him. That's all he's ever wanted. From the foundations of the earth, he desired you. He designed you. He called you. He called you out so he could be with the Father. Not do something for him. He doesn't need you to perform. He doesn't need you to do. He's got everything he needs. You know what he wants? He's jealous for time with you. Last point, God has not canceled you. He has compassion and he runs towards you. Maybe you feel like I should be further along by now. You ever felt like that? Met with my financial advisor recently, like, I should be further along by now. Jeez. You feel exposed, like, when you talk about your struggles as a Christian. You ever been to the Bible study and finally someone opens up about a real struggle and you're like, whew, I thought I was the only one. How can I pray for you, Pastor? Pray for my time, my schedule. My schedule's so full, doing so much ministry. It's my worst sin is my time management. Yeah, right. See, it's vulnerable when you're exposed. It's vulnerable when you talk about what you've gone through or you talk about your trauma or your hurt because you feel like what's going to happen is the culture has told me that I'm canceled when I talk about my struggles. That I can't be a real person because if I'm a real person, they're going to leave me and they're not going to love me. They're not going to want to be close to me when they really know me. Can I tell you something? Vulnerability is actually the the gateway to being fully known and living an integrated life where you have people that love you for who you really are, not for who they think you are. That's a word for somebody. And that can only happen, and I believe the church should be the safest place on the planet. This is not a stage, it's a platform for us to be used by God. This is not just a group of people trying to feel good on Sunday. This is a hospital for the hurt, the broken, the wounded. This is a place where people can find healing, healing from their past and hope for their future. This is the church, and the gates of hell will never overcome her. This is active church. This is the people we're called to be. We're called not to cancel people. We're called to be kingdom people. We're called to champion those that are hurting and lift up those that are afflicted. We are a place for those that are far off so that anyone that wants to come home, guess what? Welcome home. God's got a place for you in his house. That's for all of us. So he returned to his father and he said, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and he saw him coming from a distance. The father was looking for his son. Every day I imagine he's just like, where's my boy? He was gone. And he would walk around his property and look for him. That's not him. And one day he sees his son coming and he doesn't just go, okay, yeah, here we go. What do you have to say to yourself? You're on timeout now. Go hang out with the hired servants. No, he goes, oh my God, that's my son. This is a picture of the Father. When you turn from your sin and you say, you know what? I don't know what to do, but I can't do that anymore. And you turn from the pig pen, God sees you from a far way off and he doesn't cancel you. He doesn't put you on timeout. He runs to you and he embraces you and he hugs you and he kisses you because he says, this is my son who was dead, but now he's alive in Christ. That's God's done for my life. Man, I pray that you would know that's the heart of the Father. Because you're worthy. You're worthy because what Jesus did on the cross made you worthy. God spoke something to me during my quiet time. I didn't share this with first service. And you know, you plant a church and you start doing all the stuff for God, and then you start feeling like I gotta keep doing stuff for God. Like, and God spoke to me so clearly on my sabbatical, and he told me something, and I don't always feel like what my faith says about me. Like my faith proclaims what God says, but I don't always feel that. Okay. Some days I wake up and I feel unworthy because of who I've been and what I've done. I don't always, I'll just be honest with you, I just don't always, I'm not always the man I want to be, but I know that I'm not the man I was, okay? And I struggle just like you guys, but can I just tell you something? God spoke to me something so clearly. He said, Adam, I died so that you wouldn't have to believe a lie about who you were. I died and gave you my son Jesus and rose again on the third day so that you could know that you have enormous value, that I would give up my only begotten son because I love you that much, that you are worthy. God spoke that to me, like, not audibly, but in my spirit. Can I just speak that over you today? That you're worthy? Like, God loves you so much that he would give his son Jesus, and here's what he does for you and I. The Father says to his servants, No, we're stopping work today. We're going to kill the fattened calf. He says, watch this. Bring the best robe and put it on him. The finest robe in the house. Why? Because here's what Jesus does. The Bible says he clothes us in his righteousness. So this dirty, stinky kid that just went off and squandered all of his wealth, he probably still looks like his beard's all messed up and his hair's all messed up and he smells like pigs. I mean, you know, like, we come to God, we don't have to fix ourselves up. I don't have to get all right before I come to the Father. You know what he does? He looks at me in my sin. He looks at me in my struggle. And he goes, I love you, son. You're my boy. And you don't have to get fixed up to come to me. Just come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. And he puts his best robe on me. He says, this is for you. I give you my righteousness. It's imputed upon you. I take your sins. I give you my righteousness. It's a free gift. That is the gospel. does it for you and I, and he wants to do it again for some of those in here today. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fat calf. Kill it. We're having ribs tonight. Tri-tip. Let's feast. Celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. The way I see it, 1 minute he was in the pig pen, and the next minute he was having a party, dancing on the dance floor, getting down. And some of you think, well, man, that must be nice because God won't do that for me. Can I tell you, he's done it for me. He'll do it for you. I promise. You have something broken in you? My God loves broken people. He loves to put them back together. You got something that I'm a Christian, but I still struggle. God's like, I love you. I died for your struggle. I died so you wouldn't have to feel alone in your struggle. That actually, the struggle is designed to get you to get close to God. It's not designed to get you away from God. Matter of fact, God said, people say, well, God will never give you more than you can handle. # things that the Bible never said. God will give you way more than you can handle. So you'll turn to him and go, I need you, God. I can't do this by myself. I need a church that can stand with me. And there's people out here today, some in the crowd and many out there that don't have a place to call home. And we have a God that says, hey, welcome home. Some of us just need to come home today and we can go from the pig pen to the party in just one moment with God. Let's do something. Let's just stand to our feet. Let's together. I want to pray over our church. I want to pray that next week we bring people home. That's 4th of July next week from today. And I know we got cookouts to go to. We got fireworks to launch because let freedom ring. We live in the greatest country in the world, and I love our country. But can I tell you something I love even more? I love my God because he's given me real freedom, freedom from my past and hope for my future. So we're going to celebrate the freedom that we have in Christ a week from today. Come back next week. Bring someone. We pray over you. Let's worship one more time. Father God, we love you so much. We thank you, God, that you can take us from the pig pen to the party. God, that even when we mess up, Lord, you say you are worthy because I love you and I give you my righteousness. That's the story of the gospel. Sinners coming back to faith, coming into your house, welcoming home, Lord. We thank you for today. I pray a blessing over our church. May we never forget your grace, your love, the power, and the strength we have over sin. In Jesus' name, let's worship our King. Empty. That victory is for those of us, Lord, that who've come to the conclusion that we can't do it anymore. We've been to the pig pen and we've experienced life our way. We want it your way, Lord. So right now we ask that you'd pour into our lives hope, fresh vision, God, freedom in this place. Lord, I speak a better word, Lord, over our congregation. I pray, God, that there'd be sonship and daughtership. There'd be sons and daughters in this house that know, man, their identity is not in what they've done. Their identity is in Jesus. God, would you give us strength to overcome sin? Give us strength to not do it our way, but to do it your way. Help us to draw near to you every single day. Lord, we cast, Lord, every single thing that's holding us back, we cast it out of our lives. We give it to you. We surrender it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we receive love. Lord, we receive your adoption this morning. I want to pray for those now that are You still feel like you're in the pig pen, eyes closed and heads bowed. You're just here this morning, and maybe you're feeling a long way off. Maybe you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, and you feel like you need to come back home. This prayer is for you. Listen, I don't want anything from you. I just want something for you. I want you to know that you're loved and that there's healing in the name of Jesus. There's healing when you come home. But you have to make a heart decision to turn away from whatever you've been doing. And that just means you need to turn towards God. You don't need to run, try to fight the enemy. You just need to run towards Jesus. So right now, today is your declaration. It's time for you to come home. Maybe you're here today and you've never, ever said this prayer. You've never made Jesus Lord of your life. I'm going to give you a chance right now in this place to have a fresh start. A fresh start with God. A fresh future with the Lord. He loves you. He's for you. But you need to turn away from your sin. He can't bless sin. He can only bless the things that honor him. And the way to do that, we have to have a relationship with God through Jesus. The Bible says that if you confess Jesus is Lord with your mouth and you believe that he died and rose again in your heart, that you'll be saved. That means that all your sins will be wiped clean, and that when you stand before God on that day, that he will not see your sin. He'll see his son, Jesus, the blood that was poured out on Calvary, and that you will be able to walk into the kingdom of heaven, not because you were good enough, not because you are worthy on your own, but that you are worthy because of what Jesus did for you. If that's you, if you're ready to come home, on the count of three, just do me a simple favor. Just pop your hand up. I want to know who I'm praying for. One, two, three. Raise your hand right now. Say, that's me, God. That's me. Amen. God sees your hand. Amen. Say, I need Jesus. Anybody else? Say, that's me. Just pop your hand up. I'd love to pray for you. Awesome. Let's pray this together. No one prays alone at Active Church. This is a simple prayer. Just repeat after me. Everyone, say this. Heavenly Father, I love you so much. Today, I surrender my life to you. Jesus, you're my Lord. So right now, take control of my life. I surrender it to you. Fill me with your Spirit all the days of my life. In Jesus' name.